night, number 7, with harps and with viols, there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand our feet while we sing not the sing of sin in G or B.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and it's good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And I give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord. And want us to pray for Colin tonight. Colin, Sister Jenny's son-in-law, had an accident. I think it was last night in a car. He'd fixed a car for someone, and somebody drove into him, and the car's smashed to bits. So he's been in quite an accident, but he's all right. A few bruises and things, which we thank the Lord for. And also pray for Sister Jenny, that the Lord will really comfort her and strengthen her at this time. Praise God. And I've talked with the brothers this morning. You know, I want to try and do whatever I can as a pastor. So there's a wee book here on the side, and it's Thursday night is the only date, really, the only night I have free night. It's great to get a free day or free night, isn't it? But Thursday night, if anyone wants a pastoral visit from myself and Sister Sharon, read it in that wee book, and we'll come and see you. If anyone wants special prayer, some of the brothers have said they'll go with me as well. If anyone needs special prayer in your home or anything, and you want us to come and visit you, just read it in that wee book, Thursday night. And you can write any Thursday night you want in it. Whatever suits you, it's all to suit yourselves. And I know maybe in the past, I might be having visits of people when I should have, and I'm telling you that myself, I know that. So I want to do whatever I can. If someone wants a visit, let me know. If I don't know about it, what can I do about it? But if I know about it, I'm willing to go. And it's for our fellowship as a whole. If anyone wants to visit it, just you write it down, that wee book, and I'll certainly come. And maybe if questions you want to ask, I can't guarantee I'll have all the answers. But I'll pray with you, I'll do my best. And we'll commit it to the Lord. And just want you to know that, praise God. And we're praying for everyone. We need to keep praying for Sister Jenny. You know, it's not long since the rocks went, and it's still difficult, still hard. We know he's in the right place, but it's difficult and hard, you know, still to take it in, because he was a young man, 50 years of age. And that's why I said this morning, I was driving along the road yesterday, and I'm telling you, we don't know how long we have, none of us. You're not guaranteed nothing in this life. You're guaranteed eternal life. But in this life, we don't know. So we need to do what we can for the Lord while we're here in this life, praise God. And I just trust and pray that the Lord will just help each one of us. Amen. And whatever the Lord has for us, we need to keep reaching out as a fellowship. There's not many of us, but we need to keep on going. Keep reaching out. I know that maybe if I wasn't here and decided to not come back, but some people I believe wouldn't go anywhere that sit at home. There's other people maybe would go other places, but there's other people who wouldn't go nowhere that just sit at home. But the Lord doesn't want us to sit at home. The Lord wants us to go on with him, go on with things of God. And though there's not many of us, this is still an outpost for the gospel. This is an outpost for the gospel, and it is still a rescue center. Amen. And whether you think that or not, it's a fact. It's a place where people can come if they have a desire, and they can be prayed for. And not just for myself, there's other brothers here as well, gifted as well as me, and they can be prayed for, and we'll sincerely pray and everything that the Lord will help and bless, praise God. And I know it's hard to get people in. Even with your own family, it's difficult to get people in. And that's the day we seem to be living in. It's a terrible age, isn't it? It's a terrible time, but we must go on for the Lord. And I am studying at the minute and praying on prayer. There's so many things you can preach on prayer, but why have we no revival? That's what I want to know. And we don't have revival. We don't even have a glimpse of revival, never mind revival. But we need a move of God. And if every other age could have it, why can we not have it? We can have it. But there is a price to be paid to get it. That's the thing about it. And people today are so busy with self that they've no time for the things of God. And our fellowship's not the only one. There's every church, there's lots of churches don't even have Sunday night meetings, but there's nobody who attends them. And then there's other groups, they have a Sunday night and they don't have a Sunday morning. One meeting a week. You know, if you get you ever see an alcoholic, I'll tell you the one drink won't do him awake. He's a truth. He's known as a truth. He's a thing called the truth. He has to get drink. And the Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. So we need to get a truth on us. My grandma used to talk about him choking with truth. But as a wee lad, I used to wonder what's that man talking about. But I know now what he's talking about. He was thirsty. It's an old word people used years ago. Now, it wasn't for drinking. He liked the water out of the well back at the John's farm there, the big well. And then they got the water out of the well. And there's a well spiritual for us that we can draw water out of. And if we're thirsty, we can get water out of it. And it'll quench us. Praise God. The Lord bless you. And if anyone's not here and you can talk to them, you can tell them. If they want us to visit them, I'm really willing to do it and happy enough to do it. And if you have a friend or anything needs prayer, let us know all about it. And we'll do our best, praise God, whatever we can do. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve the Lord and God's people. Amen. Leviticus this morning, I read, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, but keep open in Leviticus because we're going to go through verses again. And I went home this evening, I got into the office again, And I thought I'll do another part in this. I'll continue on. These are the five offerings in Leviticus. And there's so many things in these offerings that speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that this morning, how it speaks of the Lord. And then there's a certain part I got to, and I just really felt the Lord was dealing with me on it. So it's opened up more for me. And I want to go into that maybe a bit this evening, and I won't try and keep you too long tonight. But let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. And tonight, I want to talk about, we're starting out, the offerer was accepted in the offering. There's been an accepted in the offering. Now, Cain and Abel were a picture where one was accepted and one wasn't. So there's people could offer the day, but it's not accepted. But then there is an offering that you can be accepted in when you come with it. And you need to have the right offering or you'll not be accepted. And Cain was rejected, but Abel was accepted. And that set the whole pattern for all of the Bible, a bloody offering. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's bow our heads again this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come against every foul spirit, every demonic force, everything that would resist against the Holy Spirit, we condemn and renounce tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this whole building and all that's in it and all that's near and dear to us that's not in this building. We plead your precious blood on every one of them. And even as our brothers prayed, we claim them, that every one of them will come in and they'll be saved and they'll serve the Lord. We pray for Colin tonight that you'll bless him and touch him and strengthen to him. And oh God, if he's injured me, heal him and deliver him. In Jesus' precious name, I pray for Sister Jenny. We ask you, Lord, for your strength, for your grace, for your courage at this time. Lord, that the great comforter will comfort her and strengthen her. That the angel of the Lord will be near. We pray for all the children. You bring every one of them in, Lord. That Father, you'll deal with them in a special way. And you protect them and watch over them in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, tonight, help us with your word. And help us, Lord, to serve you. We're serving you, Lord, tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll give us the Holy Spirit afresh. I take the Holy Spirit afresh in Jesus' precious name. And I thank you that you undertake for me in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Here, this opening scripture says we are accepted in the Beloved. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The glorious gospel, that's how our acceptance came, was through the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the offering we are made acceptable unto God, justified freely through all things. Now I'm going to talk a bit more about redemption in a few minutes later in the service. And I'm going to go into something tonight with a bit more detail in a moment or two. This privilege in verse 2 in Leviticus, it's a privilege. And if you keep following Leviticus through this, and I want to really go through, if the Lord will help me, through the book of Leviticus. I think I preached on it sometime back. It's actually, you might think it was just a year ago, but it's about 8 years ago, and it's like yesterday when I preached on the book of Leviticus. It was in Scarborough Orange Hall, and I preached a bit on it. This is a wide door opened by the infinite mercy of God, salvation by the offering of Christ. That's the only way of salvation, is by the offering of Christ. It is brought within the reach of every single man that hears the tidings of the gospel. Salvation's in that man or that woman's reach. When any man that ever hears the gospel, you think of that tonight. Think of a man on the street here in Northern Ireland preaches the gospel, the simple gospel. Every person that hears that on the day of judgment has no excuse. They have come under the tidings of the gospel.
And once you come under the message of the gospel, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision that either you're for the Lord or you're against him. Now, somebody might say, yes, I heard the gospel, but I'm not really against the Lord. But then they do nothing about it. Well, then that proves they are against him. You're either for the Lord or against him. There's no in between. Either we say of God or Balaam, that's the Bible. Or Mammon, it's just the devil. In the Old Testament, it would have been Balaam, wouldn't it? But Mammon, how many knows Jesus said that? Mammon's the devil. A type and a type. And I tell you, either we're serving the Lord or we're not. We're glad that the gospel brings us. Now, he is the propitiation for the whole world. The propitiation for the whole world. God was satisfied with what Christ done. He was satisfied. And the work that Jesus done on the cross is not limited. I don't believe in a message of limited atonement. I believe it's of the devil. That's what I believe. Now, I know some people might like that. That won't matter to me. I don't believe in limiting the gospel in any way. I believe what Jesus done could save 1,000 worlds. Not just this world. If there's 1,000 more, it could save them, because the power of that blood's unlimited. The power of Christ's unlimited. I know God knows who's going to come. I know that. But I'm sorry, I'm not God. I leave that to him. It would be far too great for me to try and impose it on anybody that I know who's going to come and who's not, for I don't. So I'll be perfectly in the will of God, preaching it to all as long as I live. I know I'll be in God's will, for he said, whosoever believeth shall be saved. That's how we're to preach it. Not limited. Here it says, propitiation for the whole world. 1 John 2, verse 2, and he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That means he's paid the price for all. And all can come. And there is provision for all to come. You know there was provision for Cain. There was provision for Cain. Cain was rejected, but there was still provision for Cain. And God said to Cain there was provision for him. But he didn't take the provision God gave. And in the days of Noah, there was millions condemned and lost, but there was provision for them. They didn't take the provision, but the provision was there for them. Whosoever will could come in. But they never took the provision. They went the way of the world. And you know the Bible talks about going the way of Cain. Going the way of Cain. And many today are going the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is the way of self-righteousness. How many churches and churchgoers have we today in this country? But they're not born again. They know nothing of God's real salvation. They never had a time or an experience when they acknowledged they were sinners by nature. Sinners by birth. Absolutely pitch black. Lost as lost can be. And the only way out was Christ. They'll not acknowledge it. They'll meet you and they'll say, I've never done anybody any harm. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But the fellow that's a murderer, that has done harm, can be saved. If he only repents. And the one that's done no harm to nobody will go straight to hell if they don't repent. That's the gospel. Now, that's hard medicine, but that's the Bible truth. And some people don't want to know nothing about that, but it's the truth anyway. The word propitiation is like reconciliation. You know, we have people in government and they're talking about being reconciled. But you cannot be reconciled outside of truth. And if you lay aside truth, you have no reconciliation, because it's only truth that brings about reconciliation. And Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And Christ brought about reconciliation because of propitiation, for he pleased God. God was satisfied with that sacrifice. That's what it means. God was appeased. Man could never appease God with works program. But Christ, you know, the word propitiation, reconciliation, was the same as appease, which means to satisfy God. God demanded penalty for sin so that he had to be appeased, satisfied. Only Christ could meet those demands. Nobody else could meet those demands. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could meet those demands. And Jesus Christ met those demands. He met them in his life. in every part of it. Tempted and tried at all points, and yet without sin. 1 John 4 verse 10 says this. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Me and you never decided we will love God and will serve God. That's not how it happened. God's Holy Spirit moved you, and God's Holy Spirit moved me. And it could have moved you through hearing the gospel, reading the tract, hearing even a gospel song, or somebody spoke to you, but you were moved. And it took God's Spirit to move you. And it was God that loved us. It wasn't that we loved him, it was that he loved us. And remember, he loves us and he still loves us the same. It never changes. That's the very foundation that the devil can do nothing about. But so many Christians don't realize that. The Lord loves you tonight just the same as he ever loved you. And he loves you with an everlasting love, he says. And then one of the shortest verses in the Bible, God is love. God loves you tonight. Now, if you were to look at Leviticus 25 and you were to look at verse 8 to 17, and Leviticus 25, if we could turn till it this evening, and maybe I won't read it all for the sake of time, but there's a wee bit I want to bring out tonight. And if I can get this across, how it's come to me, I don't know if I can or not, but I'm going to, try till. And I'll leave this with you tonight, but Leviticus 25, if you want to read from verse 3 and 7, verse 9, right down through verse 25. But Israel's Jubilee year, it talked about a Jubilee year in verse 25, chapter 25, verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now, this Israel's Jubilee year here, we see it happened, it occurred on the 50th year. So the 50th year is a Jubilee year. Pentecost is a Jubilee. How many knows that? Because it's 50. Now, I'm not going to preach all about the 50 tonight, but you could preach a sermon on the 50. How many knows there's messages and numbers? 7, 3, 50. Seven church ages, seven seals, seven spirits of God. There's so many things you could preach on. 50 is the same. 50 in the Bible means something very important. But I don't want to go too much into the 50 tonight, but just to get you, let's go back to verse 3 of chapter 25. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard and gather it, the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath of the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard, that which groweth of it his own accord of thy harvest. Thou shalt not reap neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Verse 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. Now, let's read verse 7 as well. And for thy cattle, and for the beast, and all that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. So there's laws of God. The law of the Sabbath year is a law here in Scripture. And you see, except it had the additional purpose of returning poverty and the lands to their owners and the servants to their families. And you can read verse 10 here as well. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, year, and proclaim liberty. Now get this tonight. Ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. So there was a jubilee year when God restored everything. And you could return all to what maybe you'd lost. Now I'm just reading you this because I'm going to bring out a point here in a few moments. And I have to get you this background. You can read this more at home. This meant that twice each century, the economy of Israel was somewhat leveled, though by no means redistributed. The point was that no family's land should be permanently lost for the creditors, and no one's freedom should be permanently lost to the servitude. So even if they had sold land, and even if they were slaves and all them things, there was a way to come back. There was a way, even here in this Old Testament, and we're going to see how it points to Christ. There was redemption. And there was a year of Jubilee that sounded, and when the year of Jubilee sounded, there was a redemption, there was a propitiation. There was someone that was brought an appease. And the family could come back, and the land could be brought back. Now there's a way in which it could be brought back. And it had to be through the redeeming relative. Let's read verse 25 of Leviticus 25. Verse 25 of Leviticus 25. If thy brother be waxen poor and have sold away some of the poor possession, and if any of his kin, some to redeem it, and then he redeem that which his brother sold. So this is all talking about if someone was sold away, their kin could redeem it. An uncle, or a cousin, or a brother could redeem, but it had to be a relative, a kin relative to redeem. And if it wasn't a kin relative, they couldn't redeem back what the person had lost. But at the year of Jubilee, when the trumpet blew, there was a specific way and a specific time it could be brought back. And it's called the redeeming of the relative. To whom would you turn? Now listen to me this evening. To whom would you turn if you feel on hard times financially? Many resort to family, close relatives. But more and more people today have no one to turn to if they need help. In ancient Israel, by contrast, people generally could count on some family member to step forward and financially support if poverty forced them into slavery or caused them to lose their land. This relative was called a redeeming relative. That's what he was called, a kinsman redeemer. So that if you fell on hard times and there was no way out for you, you could have a near relation, which is a relative. And they could step in and buy your ground back and purchase your ground back and redeem your ground back so that your ground was redeemed back to you, or whatever you lost was redeemed back to you. But it was called a kinsman redeemer. And that kinsman redeemer could buy all back, and it could become again your possession, even though you'd lost it. And when the trumpet sounded at that year, what the Bible speaks about, it became possible that it could be done. Now, the redeeming relative was usually a male relation. You know, a brother or an uncle or a cousin, Leviticus 25, verse 48 to 49. After he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. This was provided to protect the clan. And you know, from Scotland, you know what clan means. How many know what clan means? Certainly we do. It's an old word, and I like the old words, praise God. The Hebrew word used for kinsman means one who has the right to redeem. One who has the right to redeem. As an Israelite could sell himself, his family, or his land in the case of poverty. And look, let's read this. Here, I'll take my time for a moment. I won't strike a highlight just for a moment. Look, verse 39 of chapter 25. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and he be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. So this year of Jubilee is an important year. Verse 41, then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family and unto his possession of his father. Shall he return? Verse 42, for they are my servants which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with vigor. Thou shalt fear thy God. So even though he was bought, and even though he was a servant for a time, when the trumpet blew, he had to be released. The year of Jubilee brought freedom because there was a redemption fully paid for that paid for that freedom that they were going to enjoy, even though they didn't deserve it It was paid for. I need to think of this evening. But the redeeming relative at first opinion by the law to buy back any land or person been sold, thus allowing ownership to be kept within the clan. Verse 23 to 28, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners of me, and in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. And if thy brother be waxen poor and have sold away some of his possession, and if his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let it be him count the years of the seal thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom it is said, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. Only until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. Now when people talked about years ago, the year of Jubilee, old preachers, I didn't know what they're talking about. And maybe you don't tonight, but this is what it's all about. It's from the Old Testament. It was a time in Old Testament history when someone could be brought back when that trumpet blew. Look at Jeremiah 32, verse 6 to 10. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anath, for the right of redemption is thine to buy. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and I might be pronouncing these right, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver, and subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witness and weighed him the money in the balances. There was redeeming. He was able to buy it back. Thus the redeeming relative was an important figure in Israel's culture. That redeeming relative was important. In fact, God himself was often represented in the Old Testament as a redeemer. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7, verse 8, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he hath sworn unto your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see these scriptures, they're not only for us tonight, but they're speaking to Israel. And God is still going to save Israel. Do you know that? And the devil can do absolutely nothing about it because the word of God's clear. God's word says it. They're going to be saved. God's going to save Israel. You know that tonight. And we're spiritual Israel. Look at this now in 2 Samuel 2 verse 23. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for the land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations, and other gods. They're other gods. And you know there was other gods, but they weren't really gods, because God gave Israel the commandment, and it's still true. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. He's not two or three, he's one. And God did something to Israel, and God gave promise to Israel. And you know, when you read the writings of Paul the Apostle, he says Israel is blinded for a season. But that blindness is going to be restored. It's going to be turned back. And it's going to be turned back because the Gentile church are going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And God's going to turn back to Israel. And we were the wild branch that was grafted in. But there is the original branch. And Israel's that branch. And not enough preaching about Israel today, you know. You never hear none of these modernists preaching about Israel. But the Bible's full of it. There's so many sermons in the Bible that speaks about. How many believes that tonight when I'm telling you the truth? But I want to bring this out for you tonight. Likewise, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is described as our brother. He's described as our brother. Now here's the message tonight. Just like in that Old Testament, only a kinsman. The kinsman had to be a near relative. And that kinsman that was a near relative restored at the year of Jubilee, even though you spent it and squandered it and did whatever you did with it, at the year of Jubilee, that kinsman, your relative, restored you back your crown and restored you back your possession, and all that you lost was restored back. And Jesus Christ is our brother. He's our brother tonight. We're brothers to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and he's our near kinsman redeemer. And 2,000 years ago on the cross, the greatest Jubilee trumpet that ever could sound sounded out loud, and it sounded out clear, and it blew out a gospel message then, and it still blows it out tonight, that you can be restored all. All can be restored. All that Adam lost in the fall, Jesus Christ has brought back and restored back. For you shall bear the image of the earthly, but you shall bear the image of the heavenly. As you bore the image of the earthly, you shall bear the image of the heavenly. And every one of us have the image of the earthly tonight. We're living in bodies that's decaying. They're going to go to the dust of the Lord. There's raptures. But I want to tell you tonight, there's another body waiting. And there's something tonight. We're going to throw off these old coats, brother. Hallelujah! We're throwing off the old coats and we're going to get a new garment, praise God. We're going to be changed from corruptible into incorruptibility, from mortal into immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the sting. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We sing that wee song, the near kinsman. Extend the border of your garment over me. We sing the wee song. Here's the meaning of it tonight. This kinsman restores all. All that you lost because of sin, in your health, in your body, everything. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago paid the price for it. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes wounds we are healed. 2 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose wounds we are healed. He's our redeemer. Not just our redeemer, but he's our nearest kinsman redeemer. There's nobody nearer than him tonight. He's a near kinsman redeemer. The Bible calls him our big brother. We have a big brother tonight. Hallelujah. And his name's Jesus. He became us that we might become him. I thank God for him tonight. He's able to do far exceedingly abundantly above what mere you can think or ask tonight. He's able to do. Jesus has paid the price for our full redemption. He is our kinsman redeemer. Oh, praise God. Now, I know I went over it quick, but I don't want to keep you long tonight. I could have went into a whole other thing, but I didn't want to do that. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm almost finished. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. He calls us brethren tonight. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Oh, praise God, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And Jesus Christ is the only way for true reconciliation, through Christ, through the gospel. That's the only way. There's no other way. Any other way is a fake way. It's a false way. But Christ is the real way. Christ is the real way, the true way, the only way. He can restore you tonight. Full health, full strength. Praise God. Let's stand our feet tonight. I'm not going to call you forward and lay hands on you, but I want to pray for you tonight. I want us to stand our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to be reverent tonight. Lift your hand up to the Lord if you need prayer tonight. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I believe the Lord, where his name is lifted up, he's near. He's near. I want you to do something this evening. If you have a condition in your own body, Put your hand on it right now. Right now, wherever your problem is. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we've seen through an Old Testament how the near kin could redeem one back and restore all. How much more can you redeem through the perfect sacrifice of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross made propitiation for the whole world. Lord, we're asking you tonight to stretch forth your power in this meeting. Heal that sister. Heal that brother. That man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Maybe someone tuned into this meeting by way of internet or radio or somewhere through a recording. May you touch them. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and take authority over every devil in the name of Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. I place between the people and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask for complete deliverance tonight. Do the work, Lord, of the kinsman redeemer in men and women's lives in this meeting. Oh God, restore the joy, restore the health, restore the strength, restore the blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, get thyself all the praise. Get thyself all the glory. We'll praise you and we'll magnify your name. You alone are worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Lord, we worship you tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that no man, Lord, was worthy. But there was a Lamb that stepped forward and was found worthy. Lord, we worship that Lamb tonight. We adore that Lamb tonight. We give that Lamb all the praise and all the glory. And we say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Lord, receive of our praise and thanksgiving tonight. Touch people in this room. People at home, touch them tonight. Oh God, I pray for Sister Jenny. I rebuke every devil power. I pray for the great comforter of the Holy Spirit to give her a supernatural strength, a supernatural blessing. Oh, Lord, touch her, I pray. Give her your strength and help her, Lord, at this time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, move on our children. Lord, we want to see them serving you, but we can't make them. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will move them. Amen. Speak a word into their innermost being. Speak within them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn them, Lord. Turn them, O God, and they shall be saved. We claim everyone that's represented in this house tonight. Every husband, every wife, every aunt, every uncle, every son, every daughter, every niece, every nephew. We claim every single one. We place over them the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of the blood, the token upon them tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, grant that you'll speak to them this very night. You're our kinsman, redeemer. We bless you tonight. Even if they sold all, even though they were in slavery, yet the uncle, the near one, could bring them back and pay the price. Lord, you paid the full price for all on the cross. On the cross. Lord, when they looked up at that old serpent, when they were bitten to death, they lived because they looked. Lord, we're looking to you afresh tonight. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We've lifted you tonight. We lift you now. We lift your name, the name of Jesus. We proclaim your name, the name of Jesus. We worship your name, the name of Jesus. And we say, there's no one like the Lord tonight. You're far above all in heaven and on earth. You're far above all. We worship you and magnify your lovely name. Bless your people now. Lord, as the musicians come, bless them. Bless Brother Guy as he leads the songs. Lord, whoever needs visited, help us, Lord. May it not just be someone, but oh God, may something happen every time we mention your name. May something take place. Bless and strengthen everyone in this room tonight as we yield to the Holy Spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. I'm going to ask a brother to come and sing a couple of choruses, whatever he feels led. The Lord bless you. And we'll be back again Wednesday night. You have to forgive me. I'm a bit emotional, but God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Can sing that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.